Recording live from the Black Lodge, it's me, the free will burning head turning ass kicking machismo dripping, master podcasting mouthpiece of the Southeast Insane, Brandon Lane. I'm not alone tonight. I've got a couple of gentlemen sitting here to my right. One of them is among the most, I don't even know what to call him, obsessed Kiss fans I have ever met. The other gentleman is simply here to call out some bullshit of this excellent piece of cinema. If you gentlemen want to take turns announcing yourself.
Announced.
Wow, this is going really well so far. Speak the fuck up. What's your name? It's your name. It's on your...
Scott fucking Huff. Okay. Scott Huff. I am a lifelong Kiss Army fan. Seen them twice with the current lineup and with the classic original four. Oh, I am dreading watching this lovely piece of gold.
Yeah, again. we're going to argue over the title of this film in just a moment. And the men sitting to the right of Scott.
Chester Clortry. And I've never been able to successfully watch this movie in one sitting, so maybe today...
All right, well, the door's not too far away from you, so if you got too much before you can handle, just head on out. All right, well, you wanted the best, you got the best.
Well,
maybe the worst in this circumstances. This is Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park, or as it says on Kissology Volume 2, which we'll be watching this from. And DVD, I don't believe these have been released on Blu-ray, have they?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Well, unfortunately, we'll be watching this in standard definition, although I don't know if there's any more detail.
I don't think they ever touched it up either. I don't imagine
they did. Oh, no, this is directly a rip from like VHS, if I'm not mistaken.
It actually looks pretty good still. Like I said, I watched a month and a half ago. So.
Well,
it looks good for what it is, for how old it is.
Oh, that would be 1978. This was obviously a made-for-television movie. Kiss were coming undone as a band. We're definitely at the peak of their popularity. So, what you do, if you've got the Kissology, this is Volume 2, it's Disc 1. It's the second chapter. If you go to the main menu, it's got an autoplay feature, but if you go to the main menu, it'll say Kiss in Attack of the Phantoms, which is the European title. The European title. All right, so on the count of three, on go, we're going to hit play. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, gentlemen, I already have some information on the title if y'all need me to...
Please. I'd love to hear this. Please elaborate.
This film has three titles.
Holy Jesus.
Another two.
In the United States, it was known as Kiss Meets... Phantoms of the Park. Outside of the United States, excluding the country of Italy, this film was called Kiss Attack of the Phantoms.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Only in Italy, this film is simply titled Kiss Phantoms.
Wow. That's dumb. Here we go with the greatest opening segment ever. I hate the logo, the way they did it. Oh god, it's so bad.
Alright.
Let's put some white lettering up here.
Oh, man. This chroma key. Look at Gene's crotch over there. It's his...
I love these outfits compared to what they actually wore around this time.
Oh,
come on.
Okay.
These outfits are awesome. I hated Gene's outfit.
Man, look at Peter. He's playing the drums on the fucking tilt-a-whirl. He could probably bang on a tilt-a-whirl and play as well.
He was so high on coke right then. He's actually playing the tilt-a-whirl, dude.
I can't exactly remember where it is. It may be in this intro, or it might be later on, where they're like, there's a part where I think it's Ace is like walking across a laser beam or some shit.
Oh, that's Paul. Paul shoots the laser beam as he walks down. I think it is.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, devil's advocate. I mean, like, I think that we all have a certain appreciation of Kiss. I consider myself a pretty big Kiss fan. I don't have them emblazoned on myself like you do, Scott.
My very first tattoo. I turned 18. Oh, man, look at the cape. Out of nowhere, he has the cape. Paul changed out this as well. I love it.
How did you get into Kiss, Scott?
My dad, actually. When I was younger, my dad was a weekend warrior. My parents were divorced, so I go to his house, and he let me listen and watch all, like, he's the one that showed me Blazing Saddles, and I was a kid, so that was really out there. And then, like, I thought Led Zeppelin was extreme, and he's like, he showed me Kiss, and he actually snuck me off to Raleigh, North Carolina, to see them on their farewell tour, and my life was forever changed. I had a grown man spill beer on me, and I got to see Ted Nugent say the N-word quite a bit and offend people.
Well, what more could you want out of a concert experience?
Man, it was Ted Nugent, beer and racism. Mm. Woo! I love that.
My mom, who has a very strange taste in music, I grew up on Rod Stewart and Kiss, so which actually, if you break it down, actually makes a lot more sense
because Peter was Rod Stewart.
Yeah,
wow.
Peter Criss sounds a lot like mm-hmm. Rod Stewart. He's not as good a singer as Rod Stewart, but he's definitely got that sort
of... He has those moments.
Those raspy, soulful voice. I know I'm probably in the minority here, but Peter Criss is my favorite member of Kiss.
Definitely in the minority.
Wow. And hear me out. I'm not saying he's the best drummer they had, because he unequivocally was not. Eric Carr, definitely. The Fox. But I love Peter's voice. He has a soulful quality.
I love that they do this, and then they'll never address it. Like, the machine's going out of control, and the guy's having a hard time stopping it. Well, they don't really address it. They say something about maintenance issues later, that's it.
Well, it's the Phantoms. Phantoms,
like ghosts, is what it makes sound like Scooby-Doo. No.
Well, just put things in perspective. The whole gist of this movie is...
I love this. They're going to get out of hand. They're building a pyramid. Teenagers are building a pyramid.
Well, look at that. I mean, they obviously are putting these kids in their place.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these shots are just sort of like disjointed. Like, they're just like, well, just go out and film shit. We've got to fill 2 hours of primetime TV slot here on CBS. This was on CBS, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was CBS.
I think it was, too. What I love about that part they just showed with the kids, that was a Kiss lookalike contest, and the first one in line was a little white kid with a fro. He just had his face painted. Like, yeah, they don't have to wear costumes or anything, but their faces are all painted.
Hey, well, most of the members of Kiss, if their hair isn't styled, they have froze. So.
Yeah.
Jew froze.
Jeans, this little top knot thing. Hyde is balding.
Oh, Mr. Devereaux, the villain of the piece. Well,
he's such a good actor, too.
The point of, like, the whole framework of this film is that, okay, you know, Kiss is coming to this this amusement park to play, like, a couple of shows, and there's a mystery afoot, you know, there's some diabolical robots being produced.
Man, the classic late 70s, like, bully types. You can tell they're bad. Look at that.
Oh,
he's wearing boots and a denim jacket. Or denim vest, sorry.
He's very much the Peter Fonda.
He's a bad boy.
Type of character.
Kind of guy you're into, right?
Yeah. he's a little too rugged for my taste.
I want to know, is that a belt, what he's wearing? What is that, a girdle? I've been trying to figure this out for years. I'm not kidding.
We got Heckle and Jekyll, mall cops here.
I can't remember that guy's name, the guy with the mustache. He's been in a lot of films.
So, the first time I got to see Kiss in concert was on the farewell tour, which actually was the final show in that tour in Knoxville. And unfortunately, years afterwards, I found out that it was Eric Singer dressed up as Peter Criss and not Peter Criss, because he quit. I don't know at
his
what point.
Stuff were messing him up, and it was like really showed before the final one, so you literally like just missed him. And they did it really quiet.
Of course, they did keep it quiet because I was years
that's like
later.
I love whenever they came back after the farewell tour. They never announced they had new members or anything. It just kind of like, oh, here's Kiss and makeup and costumes.
All right, well, let's address the elephant in the room. There are two original members of Kiss in the band wearing their original makeup, and then there's Eric Singer on drums. He's been with the band for, I mean,
92.
Yeah, I mean, he, well, technically, no, he
recorded in 91.
He joined in 91, but like, he didn't become, like, I guess, the...
Yeah, he was touring, actually, with Alice Cooper and Kiss at the same time. I didn't know that until that documentary yesterday. Alice Cooper was talking about it.
He's referring to, it's a documentary called Hired Guns. It's about, you know, musicians that have kind of lend their talents to a lot of different bands. And then, of course, there's the hot button member Tommy Thayer. I'm gonna play devil's advocate and defend Tommy Thayer to a point. I'm setting you up just so you can unleash utter hell. Tommy Thayer is a serviceable guitar player. I get why he would be on paper someone to play, although I think Bruce Kulick, the former, you know, he was guitar through most of the 80s and a good portion of the 90s. I have problems with Tommy Thayer wearing Ace's makeup because he's, I don't know. It's okay. Even if he's a great guitar player, say he's a great guitar player, what legacy has he left as more than just a...
Ripping off Freya by the sword?
Yeah. All right, unleash hell. I played devil's advocate.
Motherfucker, he's a glorified guitar tech. He tuned Ace's guitar. Tuned his guitar! And whenever Ace wasn't there, he'd fill in for the sound checks, and that's it. He has no right to wear that costume and wear that makeup. I hate him. He's at best a session guitarist because he can look at the solos, but yeah, I can play that. But what does he actually bring to the band? Absolutely nothing.
Well,
I've watched him live, and I've watched him like on YouTube and stuff. He is
okay. My argument, like for why
his gorilla. Obviously got in a costume. Look at it.
No,
look
dude, that's obvious. That's
I love it.
It's a real gorilla. Okay.
And here's the Bad Boys again.
Here is your second Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park. Fact. This was an original airing on NBC Saturday Night
NBC.
Specials.
All right, well, I apologize. I didn't bother doing any prep on this because I figured Scott would know, and you failed you failed me.
I had to dig deep in the recesses of Google just to find out it aired on NBC.
Well, they've scrubbed this from it.
Yeah, that's why it was such a big deal when they released it on this, even though it's European title.
It was released on VHS because I had it on VHS.
Yes, my aunt did. My cousin did. Sorry.
But, you know...
It was released on VHS in 1991.
It was so bad. Still bad.
What,
Lame-o, man. Really lame-o.
Lame-o.
Here we go. Music for no freaking reason.
There's only so much you can do with this B-plot. No one tuned in for the Phantoms. Everybody tuned in for Kiss.
It was unofficially put on VHS in 1998.
Oh.
I love that they...
time for VHS to be dying.
But the first marketed VHS release...
This place has so many money issues. That's what the whole thing's about. Is like, he can't stand up bringing in Kiss because it brings in money, but he needs money for repairs and for his droids and stuff. Look at his freaking lab.
Dude.
This is not a repair shop. I've worked maintenance.
Dude, this is like a half a step away from being a 1966 Batman fucking villain lair. Like, I could imagine...
one of those electric balls?
Yes, one of the plasma Tesla balls, yeah.
The reason why this movie was made is to make Kiss into superheroes.
Well, I mean...
I'll
admit, like, being a kid, the time that I was a kid...
Walks into a red room, and he's gone forever.
He's gone forever. Kiss to me, I grew up with 80s Kiss, but like all of my mom's albums, you know, were 70s Kiss. So I had this triumphant vision of Kiss, you know, the Destroyer album cover, obviously, like the artwork I had did for this podcast is reminiscent of the Destroyer album cover, but to me, that's it's so comic book. You know, there are four superheroes jumping off a cliff in the midst of an explosion.
I'm gonna step in here to get back to the movie for a second. This bothers me so much. She is so offended because these guys are just looking at her, and she's also keeps checking her watch. Her boyfriend works at this park. He said he would be off after the park closed.
No,
park is still going.
This underage girl dressed like Peter Criss.
Yeah, I guess she won the look-alike contest.
See, no, I think they just fired her like they did Peter a few years after this. Get the fuck out of this movie, you untalented little girl. Oh, dude, I know this. Yeah, I do know this guy.
He's one of those guys.
Oh, man.
Anytime you hear Peter Criss in this movie,
mm-hmm.
It is not Peter Criss speaking.
Well, there's good reason for that.
The entire dialogue of Peter Criss was voiced over by well-known voice actor Michael Bell.
Oh, it's pretty obvious when they get to it. I mean, there's some syncing issues. It's very clearly dubbed.
The only time you hear Peter Criss's actual voice in this movie is the acoustic performance of Beth.
Which is, I was going to point that out later, because it's so random and just slotted in the film. Oh, yeah, Beth's one of our biggest songs. We got to put it in the movie.
Well, it was a number one hit, and I think that's a sort of a sore spot on why there hasn't been a full-fledged Kiss reunion. Now, obviously, Peter Criss is, he's retired from music fairly recently, and he's had trouble with his arms and stuff, and to boot, was never the most reliable or talented of the group as far as... Cocaine is a hell of a drug. But I think we're in agreement that, seeing the original four together for...
I've actually turned down Kiss tickets because it's just not my band anymore.
Well, I was going to bring that up. A couple of years ago, it was Kiss and Def Leppard. They came to Nashville, and I was like, "Hey, let's go, man! I'll buy the tickets." And this is the first time that we'd had the full on hellfire discussion about Tommy Thayer. And I mean, I get it. It bothers me, but at the same time, like, Kiss, by this point, I mean, because Paul's voice is not exactly up to snuff. I mean, you're going for the spectacle, and what the fuck is this?
Oh, I love, you missed the entire part where he's like, "You just dropped 250 feet in like 0.3 seconds," and I was like, yeah, her ass would be through the ceiling on that elevator. There's no way. I just love, like, I know it was the 70s and people didn't have access to this common knowledge, but if you drop like 300 feet in 3 seconds, you ain't gonna survive.
Well, this movie is...
Oh, yeah, I love the androids. I love that they're androids. They call them phantoms and all this other stuff throughout the entire film. Look at the Scooby-Doo head.
Yeah,
they put a throw on it.
Yeah.
The reason why you can see a lot of cartoon references in this movie is it is produced and wrote by Hasbro and Hanna-Barbera.
Yep. Oh, the Hanna-Barbera Kiss connection is...
Scooby-Doo a couple times in this time.
Yeah, that went well, even to this day, we just got back from doing a little Christmas shopping, and you're punishing your son.
He wanted it so bad. He found YouTube clips of that.
Kiss and Scooby-Doo, which was on the poll, and I was going to bite the bullet and buy it had it won, but thankfully it didn't. But I was just telling Scott, is like when he bought that, he's like, "Well, you're pretty much dooming us to review this next year." It wouldn't be Christmas without a Kiss movie in there.
I have no problem doing a Kiss movie. Can we just like do a good one?
No, Detroit Rock City's
a great movie.
There are no good Kiss movies.
I love Detroit Rock City. It's a great like coming of age story almost.
I have
Your Parents Rebellion. I love that movie.
Out of any movie involving Kiss, that would probably be the greatest movie involving Kiss.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. This is the only real,
it's
Kiss,
real Kiss
movie.
And I hate it. See the wine? All that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've...
Oh, this is one of the best parts ever in cinema coming up. The Chamber of Horrors.
Yeah, those, these, Chamber of Horror they come to life later on, and I wonder what Chester, like, if you can find it on your in your Google machine, what the budget
Conrad.
Yes, the budget Conrad. For this production.
Because I mean for a made for television movie, this is actually
really, I think it was actually the had the highest budget for a made for TV movie up to this point, if I remember right. I love this. He is an android now. He has turned him into an android.
Well, you know how?
He is no longer human.
He stuck a little piece of metal on his neck, and now he's an android.
And that's how they do it.
All right, real talk. This guy gets with his girlfriend, and he's pounding away at her lower half. She going to know the difference? She going to know he's an android because he precision dwaddles that poonanner now?
He keeps in time.
Oh my God! Look how. All right, okay. Real talk here. We all three of us we work at a haunted house, or at least at one point have.
Years.
I would give anything for our haunted house to look this awesome.
The theming is amazing.
The original budget.
I love this.
Danny Boyle.
Saying Justin looked better.
Wait a minute.
He's such a bad guy.
I said Danny Boyle. What is his name?
The guy from Young Frankenstein.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember.
Danny Boyle's the guy that did Trainspotting, the director.
Yes.
Peter Boyle.
The original budget for this film, before translating with adjustment to inflation... $3 million of actual $3 million in 1978. So this would be like $100 million movie nowadays.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
I said, I think to this point, I don't remember where I read this or in the commentary on the actual film, but
is there a commentary?
They have Gene and Paul do commentary.
Oh my God,
I think Ace and Peter as well, but they're not together. Gene and Paul are. But they'll have commentary throughout the film.
Well, I know on Detroit Rock City, you can listen to Kiss doing commentary on it.
Well, I do believe the...
Don't listen to
their... The budget for this is $2 million went to Gene Simmons alone.
Probably. But I was getting ready to say, like, don't listen to their commentary. Listen to our commentary. You're going to get more information and a lot more laughs. Knock on wood.
Like purely informative, except for Ace. His parts are always funny.
Speaking of Ace, you want to? Yes. Why is Ace your favorite member
of
Kiss?
Man, he's a. You could tell even from like the early videos and stuff that he was the wild one, and he. Seeing him with the smoking guitar and shooting rockets and blowing stuff up.
Rocket Ride.
He did shock me. Shock me was the first time I heard a guitar solo. Like, wow, that's something I'd never heard before that really stuck with me.
What?
I was always an Ace and Paul guy.
I love Paul. His voice is, when his voice was at tip-top shape.
He's all in the mid-90s,
man. I mean, that guy can really sing. A very, very unique voice. You might hear some lisp in there, sneak in a little bit here or there, but I love his voice. Least favorite. Is it Gene?
When I was a kid, it was actually Peter, but as an adult, this is definitely Gene. I love that when that opened, you could clearly see there was a hole behind the freaking mummy. It did not fit. There was nothing behind it. Oh, I hate that.
Here's a fact for you. Between other bands of that era, Ace Frehley was considered the only musician, true musician, that played in Kiss.
Yeah.
Everybody else presented.
I think that's some kind of... biased. Peter was actually a good drummer in the day. He was a great jazz drummer. He's the one that made them sound different than everyone else to me because of his timing was different. But
It's
pure musician.
It's unfair to say that Peter Criss wasn't a good drummer. He wasn't a great rock drummer.
No,
but going like if you think of like in terms of like Black Sabbath, I mean, Bill Ward
is a much better jazz drummer.
Is a much better jazz drummer, but it's that very thing that sort of separates them from their contemporaries that allows them to, you know, sort of stand out and
all that shitty grin. He'd make a good Dr. Doom. Look at him. Look at that face.
I would only agree to this if Kiss were the heroes that he was fighting.
Hey, Kiss was in Marvel.
That they were.
It could have happened.
Yeah. Hey, who got you that? Huh?
Howard the Duck. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I get the Kiss made their debut in comic books, and I can't remember what issue it is of Howard the Duck.
Eight, something like that.
And I had many pained inner dialogues about keeping this comic for myself, but I was nice enough to give it to Scott for was it Christmas or your birthday?
It was Christmas.
George Lucas's finest movie ever.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Dude, okay. As a kid, I'm watching this, and, you know, I'm sort of like blossoming into a young man, coming to realize that at strange times, my lower half would become erect, and
Are you talking about your penis?
I am talking about my penis.
Okay.
I always had a thing for Leah Thompson, and... When there's the part where they're in bed and she's like ruffling his feathers, man, that fucking did it for me, man. I'm being serious.
I thought the first time you realized you were turning into a young man was Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman.
Okay, well, this was afterward.
Okay. So that was the first time.
I saw Batman Returns in the theater, and that's the first time I was ever aware of a direct correlation between sexual arousal and my man parts becoming engorged.
All it takes is Catwoman. In your defense,
leather outfit, my God. Mm.
Yeah. I do believe a lot of males in their early to mid-30s can have this exact same story that you can tell, just told in different way by the location they were in.
That's true. A few years ago, I mean that's sort of like the generation.
And that was long before me, but that's the first time that I used to watch. My mom had the VHS set, and that was like the first time they, you know, they did the touch ups and all that shit. And I had those movies in my room.
So. I don't. Let's not gross our little fan base.
No, I never did that.
Well, that's at what.
Least,
what?
At least
what was that? I watched them by myself because my parents didn't love me enough to have.
Hey, my mom worked hard.
Oh well.
This spot we're seeing right now. One of the greatest fights ever to be on cinema is going to take place there later.
Mm.
And we also get to see Black Ace.
Oh man. Yeah. One of my favorite things, film, well, I wouldn't call it a film flub because, I mean, it was done on purpose. But, I mean, who keeps their job?
You hire a white stunt double.
All right.
It kind of has the same body type. Just put the face paint on.
Yeah, just to clarify, if you don't understand, Ace is white. His stand-in stuntman, or whatever you want to call him.
He has straight gorilla face.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Straight gorilla face.
He's quite black.
Flat nose, giant lips, it's bad.
But, I mean, Kiss was coming apart at the seams during this time. I mean,
Ace and Peter really didn't have much to do with the movie at all. And they're like, they would show up late. They would forget their lines. That's why Ace didn't talk. Like, I think he has one line the entire film.
The solo albums been released by this point? I think
not yet.
I think it was right after this.
To help promote the movie. That's probably, yeah, you're probably right, but I know it was around the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean the solo albums were sort of like attempts at, like, if I'm correct, at keeping, like, everybody happy.
Everybody happy, because Peter really wanted to go do his own thing. Ace felt like he was the best musician by far, and he kind of proved it, because his album outsold everyone's by a mile.
Yeah, well...
And for good reason. Here we go! Oh! Here's the part you were excited for!
This is... Dude, if... going to a Kiss concert...
Yeah, man!
I mean, I've seen Kiss twice. They are great live. But if this was the fucking shit...
And then he walks
here
down.
Here he goes.
How you
oh
doing,
my
guys?
God. I'm standing applause. If this was the fucking show, I wouldn't give a fuck if it was Tommy Thayer and fucking Kanye West on stage. I'd pay good money to see this shit. Oh man, here we go. Yeah. Oh.
The music's already playing. Oh. They're not even on the stage yet.
I know at some point they do Hotter Than Hell, but they change the lyrics.
Rip and destroy.
Yeah.
Oh, so,
isn't that the their doppelgangers?
No, it's
actually
yeah,
them?
It is their doppelgangers because he has kidnapped them
yes.
and taken away their power stones or whatever the hell it is.
This is the
so
original. They had the original Infinity
this
Stones.
This is their Live 2 setup tour right here.
The
so
fucking drum risers and all that's just so cool. There's no pageantry in rock anymore. And
no, it's literally gotten back to that point what they got away from. The whole, oh God, we have people in blue jeans and t-shirts just going up on stage looking like everybody else. That's why Kiss was a big thing, because they didn't look like anybody else. That's why I love them. Ah, oh, I love it now.
Do all say! Oh man, it's so nostalgic to see them, because I mean, they're all in good shape, they're all young. I mean, like, physically they look like they're in good shape.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're Peter and Ace are
probably
tore up.
Paul was about to reach his peak. I still think like early to mid 80s, Paul hit his peak vocally, and God, he was so good.
Well,
always
I mean, I guess I mean the one positive with with Ace and Peter leaving the group, it sort of left them open to work with new people. So I mean, like the Kiss sound evolved.
Oh yeah,
Elder.
Benny Vincent, I hate Benny Vincent, but
Elder. I can't. Everybody hates the Elder except for me.
For good reason.
It's
an abortion.
I actually kind of like the Elder.
No, it is Gene stroking his own ego hard.
Okay.
Oh my God, you can totally see. Hold on. If it shows Ace's eyes again, he is coked out of his freaking mind.
Yeah, there he is.
He has dead face. I love it. Ah. Oh. Look at him. He's trying so hard. It's not as... Well, you see the fuck up from Paul? His necklace fell off? I love that.
Man, rock and roll is imperfect, and that's what makes it perfect.
That's what made Ace a good guitar player. He's a rock and roll guitar player except in the middle, because he's sloppy
okay, well,
and fun.
Okay.
Fuck Tommy.
I'm
going to keep throwing that out there.
I am on quite a few Kiss fan groups on Facebook. And even some that are like specifically dedicated to Ace, where this conversation comes up quite a bit. It's like maybe you could argue that Tommy is a more precise guitar player, but I like a little more emotion behind a guitar solo. And there's a difference in like someone reading music note for note, and then somebody, you know, hitting a note a certain way that makes you feel something.
It's like,
I think that robot just had a stroke.
A robo-stroke.
Seeing that guy that can go in and play anything you want him to play but not add anything to it. I hate that. If you can't add emotion or anything to it... Oh, look! The great reveal. He's turned the terrible kids into stand-up... I guess Revolutionary Warfighters or something. It's so dumb!
Because
they're androids now!
Because it's the complete opposite of Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's the opposition, you know. This new generation rock and roll kids, you know, against the old revolutionary. Well, I don't know. It...
My favorite Kiss song. Black Diamond.
Black Diamond, which is which the intro is Paul, but it's sang by Peter. I love it as well.
It's such a good. It's,
what's your favorite original Kiss album?
Most people are gonna say Destroyer. I like to go Love Gun. Love that Ken Kelly. That cover.
Yes, Ken Kelly. Opening. Which he
I
did
Stole Your Love. Shock Me's on there. And then she. I think the song "And Then She Kissed Me," the Kiss cover
of the Beach Boys song. Yeah,
I actually love that cover so much, and it's so dumb. I know you're gonna say Dynasty, right?
Yeah, dude, I really like Dynasty, but it's not my favorite.
Once a year, you gotta listen to it. That's
okay. Let's table this for just a second because we're gonna sing Charisma in a minute. Just put that on.
Oh God, I got my ringtone. Love this.
Oh. Every possible angle.
Look how fucked up his eyes are. Look how glassy and shit. I love it.
Okay, well, my overall, Rock and Roll Over is my favorite Kiss album.
It's my first Kiss album.
I mean, Mr. Speed, Baby Driver, those songs are terrific. And there's just no going wrong with...
his voice! This is his lasso of truth. He's singing to their souls right now, guys.
This is how he bedded so many women. He shot his sex laser on them. And
well, that one guy had a smile on his face like he just rubbed his genitals.
Well,
genitalia.
Well, I mean, no comments. There's always been those rumors about Paul maybe getting a little frisky with dudes,
but
too.
It's not Kiss. Well, obviously, you just heard yelling for a boyfriend. Oh man, hold on. This is ridiculous. Wrong. It's so dumb.
And they walk away casually to the...
like nothing happened. Like this is a normal everyday shit for Kiss. Yep. Okay, this is how it really was.
So is Paul Stanley a Jedi?
Yeah. You know that?
I must say. This is from Paul's solo record.
They use a lot of songs from the solo records on here. That's why I was kind of confused. Like, Gene shoves his down your fucking throat in this. the Revolutionary War picture in the background. With Peter playing the drum.
That's why. That's why it's Revolutionary War. Oh my God. Revelation.
It all makes sense. That's how you don't know what it is.
That's how Peter got that head wound.
That's what happened.
He got beat in the head by a bayonet bow.
And that's how he became a hobo later and ended up living under a bridge. Yeah. And then MTV found him.
It was Donahue.
Donahue found him, yeah. And then Peter confronted him on Donahue, I think.
Yes.
That was funny.
This is a true statement.
Yes.
I fucking know. I love it. Her little red bug.
There was two Peter Chris's at the time.
Uh-huh.
Yes, there were. What did he sell his story for like $100? I mean, it was some like low amount.
The drummer for Kiss is now living on a hobo under the Brooklyn Bridge or something like that. And Peter's like sitting home like, "Why the fuck?"
No. And then they went on Donahue, and he was like,
"I think that was actually Peter's first time on television, unmasked and everything, because he had done an interview after." He left Kiss, according to him, in the interview, but his back was turned to the camera the entire time.
Yeah, I actually think it's on...
It may be on...
I think it's on this disc, yeah.
It is,
because... it's around the time that Unmasked came out.
It's 1978 and they were like, yeah, that's not me. Volume 2.
Yeah, I can read too, Chester. That's what it says here on this DVD cover.
Oh.
Scooby-Doo head again?
Yeah.
There's another puppy dog head, and I recognize it maybe from Pound Puppies, but I think Pound Puppies was after this one.
No, Pound Puppies was a long ways after this.
I think there's a Pound Puppy head in there somewhere, too.
Well, unless Pound Puppies existed in some form before animation.
It's something. Before animation?
I mean, before...
So this was, like, this was... Scooby-Doo never happened.
I'm saying
Looney Tunes
before...
never happened. Mickey Mouse never happened.
Before it was released as
Steamboat
an animated
Willie was
show.
A myth. I love these pictures because there's like several copies of the exact same photo, top, bottom. It's like they couldn't afford to use any more.
Well, they did a good job filming.
Oh, here we go! For no reason whatsoever. This is just what Peter does. He just sits next to little ponds, and Ace sits there with an acoustic guitar, and they just break out Beth.
So you wanna tell a story about us and Halloween?
Oh God! Last year.
Technically, it'd be the year before last, because this last year is...
So it wasn't this Halloween. It was the Halloween before this most recent one. Look at that Gene with this little... He's wearing a different cape now. I love that Gene wears capes. And, anyways, so...
Yes! They're Get this shit over with.
Mr. Brandon Lane over here gets shit-faced at the bar... And decides to serenade the bar to Beth in full, like, Peter gear. It's amazing. And just, like, in the middle of it, fuck you, Ace! You never got to sing! You never got your ballad! Where's your number one hit song? Fuck.
Okay, for the record, he was dressed as Fat Ace.
Fat Ace rather with a beard.
I had a beard too, but I painted over it. And then the next day I shaved because airbrush paint is fucking impossible to get out of your hair.
Android, not Android, killer boyfriend here just ripped the door handle off a.
Well, that shows you how French powerful door. He is, because no human being could do that.
No, he's an android. He's not a human being.
There's a lot of weird color accents. I know it's the 70s, but. I bet the art department had a...
This is like Clockwork Orange style.
Yeah, it's like, fuck.
Dick tree. This is by my wife's... The only thing she ever knows in the entire film. The tree totally looks like it has a dick tree. Look at the top with the leaves.
Your wife wouldn't notice that.
She would.
So you're...
He is gingerly searching their room.
Speaking of the room, it's very reminiscent of Tommy Wiseau knocking shit off of shelves in the room. Look how...
This movie's better. I love this. I don't know what that's supposed to be. Was it like a pretzel or a couch? How do you lay on that?
It's like a beanbag chair that's... I mean, I kind of know what they are. I mean, they're...
The bitch didn't notice the door bust wide open right behind her.
How do you not hear this? I mean, stomping around like a Frankenstein monster.
Clang!
No, don't bother actually shoot him doing it. Just have all the destruction happen under the line of sight. Okay, now let's...
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
The key to Kiss's power.
That you'd think if it was important, they'd keep it...
They did. They kept it in the glass box with the door closed.
With a lock on it.
They put a shawl over the top. Nobody is going to look under there.
Well, how did he fucking know to look there?
He's an android. He has superhuman senses.
Does he have a detector that allows him to... Oh, my God.
Look at that.
Look at this. Look at that. The demon kind of looks like the Iron Fist logo.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he has a giant comic book, man. Come on.
Look at the Iron Fist logo. You've got the Power Ranger lightning bolt.
Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet.
Peter's what the fuck?
I want those stones in the powers of Kiss.
You wear...
If he touches those things, apparently Paul just stops playing guitar. He has no idea how to play chords anymore.
Apparently one of the powers of Kiss is not to contract any STD.
Right. Peter's like...
And you know they didn't wear fucking condoms. Let's just be honest.
I don't know.
No. Well, okay, but there were Kiss condoms. Do you think...
Now? I don't think there was in the 70s.
Well, I'm just saying, like, but do you think that any member of Kiss has ever used a Kiss condom?
Absolutely.
I would hope so, but I'm sure Gene uses one with his wife.
Do you bet, I have to imagine, Gene's probably at the manufacturer. He's like, all right, I gotta test these out. Send...
He's the test dummy himself. Yeah.
Just by...
Except for Peter.
And let's face it, Ace just moaned because he liked it.
Heck.
It's from Jindal.
No, okay, I get it. He's the demon. But did they alter his voice?
I think Gene honestly wanted that as part of the contract just for him. Let's show this random chick that we met today the key to all of our power.
I bet you he slept with her.
Yeah.
Just by.
Well, I don't know why
numbers. Just by the sheer numbers of it, Gene Simmons, if he slept with as many women as he says he has, he's populated a town somewhere.
I know that is it Kiss Exposed? It's made in the '80s. He goes into a room and it's filled with every square inch is filled with Polaroids of all the women he slept with. And the room is just covered
full of everything. About. So.
Now it is possible.
Yeah. Half of his DNA that he's spread on, to create his kids came from Shannon Tweed, who's still phenomenally good looking.
I swear to God, his son is actually Paul Stanley's son. They look exactly alike.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. How did he produce children that are not hideous? Because his daughter is pretty attractive.
Well, his wife was pretty attractive too for all the surgeries. Before she slept with Evan Furlong.
Oh my God! Okay, yeah. For a second, I was like, "Did she do that?" It's like, okay, in the movie Detroit Rock City.
Oh.
While wearing his Gene Simmons boxer shorts.
Oh my God! Yeah. I want a pair of those so bad.
You make Ray lick it up. Too.
Don't want to wait till you know me better.
all night.
Put the X and sex and everything, yeah. We can keep going with these.
There's no shortage of kiss songs about sex. She wants a rocket ride. She wants a rocket ride.
Baby wants it fast. Baby wants a blast. I want that on my shirt.
All right. Well, your birthday's coming up.
All right.
I'm going to get it airbrushed.
Oh, my God.
I know a guy that does the airbrush, so you're...
You're ready. You're about to see some shit.
Oh, man. I am fucking ready.
The Shock Master! That's what this reminds me of.
Oh, my God. Very clearly styrofoam blocks.
Oh, I love it. Gene gets his Godzilla sequence. Stalking face. Whenever he goes backstage afterward to play with the groupies, this is the face he makes.
Yeah, he's like, you don't have a chance.
Ready for love.
I'm warming it up because I'm going in cold.
With those platform boots, he's got to be 15 feet tall.
I give him credit, man, because I don't think I could walk, in any fashion being that high up off the ground.
The music right here, I hate.
Oh.
I hate transition. From, this operatic, this is so dumb!
Is this the robot Gene, or is this...
This is robot Gene.
I wonder if they got paid more.
Look at the strings! Did you see the strings?
Yeah, I saw the strings.
I love it!
I wonder if they got paid more because they technically played two roles.
Radioactive!
Is this from...
Fuck that black guy.
Is this from his solo?
Look at his strings.
I want to say no. Yeah, the string's still in the shot.
I can't remember what album this is from. The only reason I say that is Gene's solo album is the only Kiss, original four Kiss album that I've never owned.
For good reason. It's got him playing his ego. Let's see how many famous people I can put on this album with me.
And there are a couple of good songs, but it's not.
By far the weakest.
Yeah. A lot of people would argue that Peter's is, but I actually really like Peter's solo.
I like Peter's more than Gene's by far. You wish upon a star. It's so bad.
No, don't do that again.
And his entire goal, even I think it's that Kiss Behind the Mask book I have, his entire goal, and he says it straight up, He didn't care about the album. He was literally trying to reunite the Beatles on his album.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole point of him doing it. No, love this scene right here.
This is my favorite scene.
This is the most iconic scene from the movie, probably.
My favorite line of dialogue.
Here we go.
It's so dumb.
The boot.
Don't fall in the water, Gene.
Can you look any less suspicious, Gene? Come on.
I mean,
he's not used to dealing with people. Okay.
It looks like he's just murdered a few people.
Yeah. No. Hi, Curly.
Chester, if you with your Google Magic, look it up and I want to find out who wrote this masterpiece. No, Catman, they are serious. That's my favorite line. I mean, Paul, I would say, is probably the best actor out of the four.
He's the one that seems to care the most.
But that's one of the worst deliveries of a line in any movie I've ever seen. And I've seen every major bad movie ever made. They're Ed Wood actors that deliver lines more convincingly than that.
Is it worse than the
Here we go.
Jan Michael Shearman and Don Budday.
What, do they have any other writing credits?
I shall look through this Jan Michael.
Jan Michael Vincent, yes. I'm sure there's a lot of women that was hoping you wouldn't pull out, so you put a baby in them.
Oh, they probably did. There's probably children out there. I'll be very surprised. I know rock and roll is tempting and rowdy. Now we just throw around security guards and burst through concrete buildings.
Yeah.
The only other movie credited to
here.
This fella was a movie called Too Hot to Handle. And if I could,
I've never heard of the film. I'm sure if it's as good as this movie. Oh my God, that poster is amazing.
I need that poster.
For the record, it's a scantily clad lady
with a whip.
Yeah,
and maybe a AK-47.
Mm.
So let's see who this other guy wrote for.
I mean, it's kind of strange. I mean, like, I understand, like, why Kiss would want to make this kind of movie, you know, perpetuate the whole idea, like, we're rock and roll superheroes. But at the same time, do you think this is really what the general Kiss fan wanted?
No, this is actually what started tearing the fan base apart as well, as they got away. It's what made Ace want to leave, too. They started to play more toward kids, and he's a rock and roll guy. He wants to sing about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and they started getting to the point where it was all, like, teeny boppers and children.
Same writer wrote that same movie, Too Hot to Handle.
Oh.
the head manager for Kiss at the time, the reason why this movie was made, is because he felt Kiss was at the peak in 1977 and 78.
Yeah.
They couldn't get no more famous than they were.
As far as their popularity, they were. They had their own amusement park.
And
I mean, come on.
To keep Kiss...
Oh, it's cold outside.
To keep Kiss as a success, he thought, turn Kiss into superheroes.
And it worked for a little while.
This was one of the outcomes of that superhero shuffle. And as like I said earlier, to date, I've never successfully watched this movie in one sitting because my brain starts hurting about 30 minutes in.
Around the time.
Well, we're at, just for the record, we've been recording for almost an hour. We talked for a few minutes before that, so a rough estimate, I'm going to say we've already
beat my record.
We're about 50 minutes in or so.
Don't worry. It doesn't get better.
I would agree that it gets considerably better. There's going to be some fucking fighting coming up. Some grade A martial arts mastery. Look at that.
Here we go.
That afro wig on that mannequin. Oh my god, look at those effects.
Blew a hole in whatever that random thing he shot was.
Yeah, hold it sideways. That's...
He's an android. He doesn't understand things.
Well, maybe not give him a weapon that can blow holes and shit.
Data on Star Trek doesn't know how to use a phaser.
That dragon staff that he has right there, the first McFarland set of figures, Gene's figure did come with that, and he came with the K, because you put all four figures together, and they had the big kiss sign.
I had the Alive set. Of course, you got these furs and Pollock. It was actually a really good thing. I think I still have them at Mom's house somewhere in a shed. I let Bill pull them out now. Like, they didn't really move. They just had the pose, and that was it.
Yeah.
Ace's feet moved. I remember that. I thought that was random.
Because he wanted to get away from the band.
It did this.
With those talismans.
Yeah, and you doing that on an auditory medium means diddly dick. For the record, he's like
the podcast pal.
He's swaying his feet.
They turn side and side. That's it. That's all the Ace figure would do. And he could turn his hands too. Oh man, I love that he shoved that in his pants after he just watched it blow something up. Once again, he's an android. He doesn't know things.
Yeah, he's not concerned about blowing his balls off because
he's an android. What does he need him for?
Well, here's a question. If they've gone to all these great lengths to make these androids look super realistic, does he have genitalia?
Hold on. Hold on. No. You forget. Oh, here we go.
In 2017, they do.
That's true. The fucking Japanese are making some creepy, creepy sex robots.
Almost human.
Yeah, this is on... is this on Destroyer or Love Gun?
Destroyer? I love, once again, this is something stupid, but the security office setup doesn't have all these fancy cameras and stuff, but the maintenance guy who works in this amazing lab has all these cameras around watching the entire park, but the freaking security doesn't get to watch it.
How dare you, like,
smoke?
Point out plot inconveniences. They got this game of checkers they're playing over here on the...
It's an intense game.
Yeah, it was so intense.
They work hard, okay?
They had to,
They've just been Saddam Hussein.
The British are coming!
All of your face making jest. Fuck that guy.
Alright, well, I alluded to it earlier.
Best acting in the movie.
He is convincingly playing an autonomous robot. We alluded to it a little earlier. You want to go ahead and get it out of the way? You want to sing some the best Gene Simmons Kiss song?
I freaking hate that song so much. Hold on, we're getting to the fight. We can't talk yet. This is the best part in the entire movie, other than the pool thing. Black Ace.
What are we waiting for?
Why does his command center need to be able to
why
swirl?
Do they need your command center
I want that command center. Just to sit at it and just...
They get so tired from walking across the park. They gotta sit on the merry-go-round.
Well, of course, he picks the one that's most demonic. Gene.
Best laugh in all of rock.
Oh, man. Shit just got real. How will they ever overcome these odds of this slow-moving...
Oh, look. It's the same footage we shot earlier. The exact same footage in the exact same order.
Not this cat.
hate Gene. I love him and hate him. It's a really complicated relationship for somebody he's never met.
This past year, Gene did a convention that I attended, and I in all sincerity did want to meet him and, you know, get my picture
and
autograph.
How much did it cost for the meet and
greet? It was fucking
like $2,000.
No, it wasn't that much. You could get like a picture or an autograph was like, you know, in the $200 range. To get a picture and an autograph was like $300. Now, later this year, I got to meet Dee Snider, and picture and autograph, $60. That's how it should be. And Dee Snider was so cool. I know there's a little bit of beef between he and Paul Stanley, and I will definitely take Dee's side on that, because that was a...
Enough of them.
Paul, just like out of the blue, went on Twitter and was like, you know, Twisted Sister is just a, you know, they were just a bunch of pretenders.
I vaguely remember that.
And Dee was like, what's your problem, dude? And I don't know.
I love this because this is so random and dumb. All right, so all this happens. We have all the part going. And then he just turns it off.
The song was over.
Yes. And they went from the merry-go-round to this roller coaster thing within a second. I guess it's because they can teleport.
Dude, they're fucking superheroes.
That's true.
They have the
Ace shot lightning out of his hands and Peter appeared, so I guess that's what happened. But how'd they get over the barbed wire? Oh, look, they walked around the corner.
This movie can be edited in a way to fit a Cialis commercial.
You ready? Here we go.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. Look how good these effects are. These things move like the putties from Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Look at that.
We don't care about any of that. We care about Black Ace.
This officially became a kung fu exploitation film. As soon as I say that, the music drops out.
So, still Ace right here.
God damn.
Wait till the action starts.
Oh, hairy.
Look how high Ace is, though.
Well, look at that. I can see that.
New York, New York groove while we're in a fight scene.
And if memory serves, this was the biggest single off of any of the four Kiss albums.
Actually, Rocket Ride was on Kiss Alive 2, but it was supposed to be on his solo album, but they demanded he give it to him, basically. So they have another song to put on the B-side, I guess. As a new song. Kiss Alive 2 was awesome, though. I love Kiss Alive 2. Black Ace! He whited his hands, but his palms are still black, so he did his flips.
Can you imagine the actual Ace Frehley at any point in his life doing backflips?
Cartwheel, maybe.
I just think...
Paul's gone Bruce Lee.
Why did they climb up just to jump down? Like they're even gaining a strategic benefit from it.
They're jumping down to make it more epic. Look at his hands! Straight gorilla face.
He looks like fucking Don Cheadle, man. He looks like Don Cheadle as Captain Planet
look how
in those Funnier Die.
Peter is. His arms are huge.
Listen, I'm all for. Kiss music being utilized in fight scenes for movies. Maybe New York Groove wasn't the best.
It like shocked me or something. Rip Peter. Not Peter at all.
Nope. Why do their asses spark when they fall down? He knocked his fucking head off.
Y'all lose the heads over you, Paul.
You know what would have happened if he hadn't told him to watch out? Fucking nothing, because these things have terrible aim. Oh, pratfall. Oh, double noggin knocker. He's a big wrestling fan, obviously.
They just killed a family for the next people that rode that roller coaster.
Yep. Is it addressed? Do they need to do repairs on the roller coaster between now and when the park opens tomorrow?
Oh, the lasers don't hurt wood.
Well, they fucking broke. They broke. They broke. The big structural parts of it.
What you don't see is they fix the damage they caused.
Okay, well.
At Albuquerque.
I have a fondness for these old kind of amphitheaters. There's one in my hometown. I saw Foghat and Steppenwolf. BTO.
Black Ace. Definitely not Peter.
Oh my god. But you know why? Because fucking Star Wars was popular. That's why. The fucking... These noises
that
are...
Is this from
Miyagi? No. These noises are straight out of... I mean, like... Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
For no reason.
Hi. That's obviously
not
him.
Peter.
Damn.
Punch him in the cock. Go one inch higher to be his stomach. I swear to God, that's Pat Maori.
You mean Marita?
Pat Marita. Why the hell is he going to do with a kendo stick? Shit lasers from his eyes.
I love that they have so much honor, these Japanese warriors. That they'll fight them one-on-one and not gang up on any individual member.
And they teleport.
Wow.
Ack.
That's all it takes.
It's all in how you do it.
Hey, oh my god. Why does he need... Okay, if he's an android...
Because he's not an android.
No.
That's what's confusing about this whole movie is some of them he turns into actual androids... Him, he didn't. He just put a metal thing in his neck and makes him a mind slave, and it's so dumb. You don't say.
Oh, man.
It's a trap. Let's spring it.
I want that voice changer that they use with
James I love Evans. How quiet you can be running across a rope bridge.
Dude, I would love to have a rope bridge in our haunted house.
Wait, don't we have one?
I don't know. Probably because they're scared that people would break it, and then like it would legitimately be a hazard.
I don't know why they didn't just buy like more of those little throat bridge things y'all have and actually put it in the vat room.
They don't want to spend money on good stuff.
Hi, Suzanne, if you're listening.
Please don't fire me. I didn't say anything.
They're in the Chamber of Horrors.
Oh, no. And they've established that they can't get out even though they have teleporting abilities.
I don't know. Remember, he stole their thing, but he's not using it for some freaking reason. The more I watch this movie, the more holes I can point out.
Don't look too deep.
Take it.
With a separate podcast talking about the Mandela effect and how it has reality warped.
Because I am.
I mean, I eat this shit up. I know this is totally corny, but, like, I love old haunted houses.
What's in the background? The Tesla coils.
Oh, my God.
Awesome. They actually have them.
Yep.
Which is, that's not the Frankenstein. The Frankenstein was in a different room earlier, but that is Frankenstein. Stein's monster. Sorry.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes. Even though, I mean, there is precedent. I won't argue that point. But there is precedent to call the monster Frankenstein.
The giant hole for the really short mummy. Love Paul's chest hair.
I know they used it in Penny Dreadful, but wasn't he also in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein called Adam? Wasn't that the monster's real name?
God, I'm not exactly sure.
Sorry.
The next time Justin plays Frankenstein's monster at a Ripley's Haunted event, he needs to watch this to learn how to properly play a Frankenstein monster.
Yep, he's He's definitely putting too much emotion into his, oh, here we go.
Solo! Definitely not Peter.
Oh, Black Ace. This is from Paul's solo album.
Paradise.
Oh shit.
He's gonna weaken him.
Oh man. He can only blow a little fire out of his mouth now. That's more definitely power
not
than
Paul. Now it's Paul.
That's the magic, the flawless magic of editing.
Yep. Flawless. Take it to the crotch.
Yeah. He's taking a lot of abuse in his lower half. Yeah, bite.
Werewolf makes like his stunted foot.
Oh my god.
Black Ace, definitely not Peter, and definitely not Paul. Well, all fighting Frankenstein's monster. Look at him! Did you see that shot? I want to
okay,
my background. All right.
Now, in their defense, like if you
for
were
close-ups,
if,
come
no,
on.
No, hear me out. In their defense, if you were watching this in 1978 on like a shit TV, like because nobody had a good TV in 1978, you probably couldn't tell. I mean, just being honest with you probably couldn't tell.
Black Ace, you could totally tell. I've seen the VHS rips.
Yeah, but you're watching it on a TV.
I was still watching it on like an old like RVB, just normal TV. This is bad.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna have to lean on Scott's argument on
especially
this,
especially with Ace. Come
even
on,
even with a bad television, you can
that's
tell
definitely
that's
all I got.
Yeah, but okay. This is a VHS.
And they're
rip.
Still spanking Gene's crotch.
But nobody, in 1978. That's obviously
not Gene.
In 1978, nobody had reception.
That's Fred Simmons.
This what's the guy that does the oh shit, the gay dude that does the exercise?
Richard
Simmons.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons.
The gay dude that does the exercise.
But in 1978, nobody got like super crisp service. This is a lot better than I'm saying.
This is better quality.
Better
yes.
quality.
Yeah.
Even though this is a VHS rip, this is still better quality than they would have been seeing
I got
in
it,
1978.
I got it.
Somebody's got to play devil's advocate. I mean, we
you
can't all
and defend it. I also think you know that. Sometimes Ace and Peter were just too busy to show up, so they're like, screw it, even these close-ups, we're going to have this guy in here.
Oh, I don't doubt at some point they're like, fuck, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, just
we're
throw...
We're going to get money anyways.
Throw whoever in there and let's get this shit over with. Get the fuck out of here.
Why are we doing this again? Do you see the
she,
security pass button?
She has it.
She has a security pass button. I'm close with them. I've known them for a whole 24 hours.
I slept with them all. Probably. Except for Peter.
Oh, he had Becky. Sorry.
I just assumed Peter Chris sucked so bad he didn't even get groupies.
Oh, come on. Have you seen Lemmy?
That's true, man. If Lemmy could get women, anybody.
Lemmy had substance.
Peter was not an ugly guy.
Peter is such.
Okay, if you want to be objection, I mean makeup.
Paul
off,
was the ugliest woman in the group, but he's still the prettiest man.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say like he's probably number two to Paul as far
yeah.
as like
your straight looks.
Yeah.
Ace has, like, that rough face. He always has that.
There's a reason why they wore makeup. Even in the 80s when they said they wasn't wearing makeup.
Come on. They were wearing makeup.
They were wearing makeup. I've seen some videos of Gene Simmons wearing a very nice color of rouge on his cheeks.
All right. What do you think fashion wise is the worst look for them?
The whole hot in the shade era. It was just bad. It was bad. That and Asylum.
Okay, Asylum. Come on. Asylum is my favorite 80s album, but holy God, they were dressed. I mean, there were women that wouldn't wear that garish of outfits like in 80s. And women in the 80s in music videos essentially...
Poison would look at them and go, damn.
Like, yeah, man, those, no, thank you. Like, we're too...
We're shoulder too, pads, man. They, shoulder pads galore.
They tried to be Motley Crue, and the thing is, Motley Crue's from California. Everybody
well, shit, I think, like, by that point, Motley Crue would have been like, nah, it's too much,
they
man.
They stopped wearing the stuff around that time.
Yeah, like, eh.
Well...
And the thing is like by the time they got their look figured out, which was around Revenge, like by that point, you know,
after that, just a few acoustic tours,
yeah,
and
few years till they put the makeup back on.
They did the acoustic tours starting in '94, and then that led to Peter joining for one show, which led to the MTV Unplugged.
Unplugged is terrific. I would
it's
argue
still my
that
favorite Unplugged.
I think it's the best Unplugged.
I may be biased, but that one and probably I guess Alice in Chains probably my two favorite Unplugs.
Wayne,
Nirvana.
Yeah, Wayne did a good Unplugged too.
Not a big Nirvana Unplugged fan.
No, I like music with substance. I was Scotty and say it best, and they get thrashed back. And it's like, until that point, nobody ever heard anything. Like, a grown man just crying on stage.
I would defend Nirvana.
You can have them.
They changed music.
Well,
they did. Was it for the better? I'm not sure.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Here we go.
Yeah. I can't even sing along because I don't know this version of the song.
If it wasn't from Nirvana, bands like Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam.
Alice in Chains was already a thing.
Yes, if it wasn't for Alice in Chains, it would have been no Nirvana.
I don't...
But they would not
well,
have that mainstream success.
Well, it killed Thrash.
Them killing Thrash sucked, but...
I don't mind them killing
Lamb. Because metal was sort of a blanket term, and like... Those like Bango Tango and like all those shitty like Keel and all those awful 80s metal
only
bands.
The
they
good
needed,
stuff. Came
they
out
needed.
Of it.
They needed to go away.
All the way, Gene actually plays bass that way.
That is my argument why Nirvana saved music.
Whoa!
They got rid of all the trash.
Yeah, they did. But at the same time, they also made was it fucking flannel fashionable. And
it
they
only
changed everything, and that's why even Kurt Cobain was like, "I can only do one thing to save the world," and he stuck a shotgun in his
if his guitar playing had been as good as his aim, he wouldn't have had to kill himself. But
I don't mind his lyrics as much as his delivery of them.
I don't think he was a good guitar player. I think he was a good songwriter. I didn't care for his vocals, although they're not the most grating to me. But I just don't.
No, that would be his wife's.
Oh my god, I fucking hate Courtney Love.
Who likes her?
Courtney Love's a good actress. I'll give her that. She's, you know, she's been in a few movies and
everything else. She sucks at.
Nobody wants to hear fucking Hole.
That's, I love that
Hole's
the
is where trash goes.
I love that the whole idea of this entire scene is Kiss is trying to incite a riot by singing the lyrics wrong. And so you can actually hear, like, the just said, the fan was like, let's tear this place apart! Kiss was so powerful.
Oh my god.
I
well, Knights and Satan Service, they're putting that,
Hail Satan!
That demon juju on the...
Oh man.
I believe Kiss was popular enough back in that day that they could incite a riot by singing wrong lyrics in real life.
That's the power of Limp Bizkit.
Oh my god. Fuck Limp Bizkit. Okay. On the tree of like bands or people music related that like if I could spit on, if I had the opportunity, like if I knew I was going to jail and but still had the opportunity to do it, Fred Durst and Kanye West are up there on the top of that fucking list.
Oh, what douches.
How can y'all discredit Fred Durst. He was a music... He still is a music
He's
genius.
A musical genius. A lyrical genius. The voice of a generation.
Oh,
he's a gay fish.
He did it all for the Nookie.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, he did. For that 5 years, he was the biggest thing in the world for half a second. Oh, it's so bad. I hate him.
That box just phased through those bars.
Well, the bars are so fucking far apart, they could easily get through them if they wanted to.
But they're electrified.
They got their power back.
I'm telling you, I want... To hell with the Infinity Stones, I want those.
Although they're like playing the exact same show...
I mean, you've seen that.
What the fuck? Somebody had a seizure on the Zoom.
The
oh my God!
Here
we go. Fucking go, man!
You've watched throughout the entire movie. Gene Simmons' dick took a beating. Apparently, his stone gives him invincible dick.
Well, dude, he's used to it. It's calloused.
Oh my God! I love that the fake members are going to fight the real members who are supposed to be fake members. It makes sense. Keep up with me.
Is Black Ace?
Black Ace fake? Is gonna fight. No, Black Ace is the real Ace. The fake Ace is playing guitar. You didn't know that?
I'm so confused.
And the fight music again makes no freaking sense.
I've never made it this far in this movie.
It's on Peter's solo album.
Now I'm lost.
See,
oh, there is
Black Ace is gonna fight real Ace.
Oh,
and then
oh,
now
he's
real
just,
Ace again.
Whoa, Black Ace
is on guitar. It's really hard to keep up with.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the first to defend Peter's solo album, but this does not
and then,
add up.
Now, okay, that was Black Ace teleport away from Black Ace.
Yes.
He just turned into Liu Kang.
Yeah. Now it's Real Ace and Black Ace.
Man, he's fucking resilient, though. You gotta give him credit.
They're androids, man. Of course they're resilient.
Oh shit!
Like, Paul just literally shot himself again. Grandma face.
Oh
Paul.
Man, that is
that
priceless.
Looks like Peter. That looks like Paul now.
Mm.
Oh man! He made the snake blow fire. Snake dragon thing.
Oh!
Now, why didn't you do that from the beginning? And then Ace blew them all up.
Yeah.
And now they have their instruments back. And the crowd is like, we accept this. Well,
yes. It's a Kiss concert. It's accepted that there's going to be an on-stage brawl resulting in more rock. What? she's fucking them all after the show. At the same time. Holes plugged on her, she didn't even know she had.
Oh man.
I could go the rest of my life without ever hearing this song again.
Unless I was at the concert. When I'm at the concert, I like hearing it. Oh god.
Do you dislike this song more or that song I keep alluding to that you're refusing to sing with me?
This is actually a good song. You don't really ever get to see them play Charisma live for a fucking reason.
Yeah, because
what is my what is my? So bad.
Charisma, what is my what is my?
It's so bad. This is actually a good song. It's a great chant song. And, like, they throw the confetti and all that shit, and there's pyro in the middle of
it.
It
serves a purpose.
It serves the purpose, the reason why they wrote it.
Well, the Kiss Alive version of the song, not the studio version.
The studio was on Dressed to Kill, and they didn't have the fucking solo in it.
So, what is y'all's favorite version? The Paul Stanley or the Gene Simmons?
My favorite version is from when they played Tiger Stadium when they first came back. And
that's like 96?
Yeah. That was the first concert they did, and each person sang a part of it. Same thing they did at Unplugged. Each person sang a part. I love that, and I think it's the way they should always do it.
That's, yeah. But when I hear it, I only like listening to the Gene Simmons version. I just don't like Paul Stanley singing it.
I am a very big fan of the Paul Stanley version of God of Thunder. I like that version more than the other version. And it's just the demo.
You know, speaking of which, I had never heard that there's a... What's the fucking song was it? It's a... Oh, shit. Hard Luck Woman. I heard it's like a demo with...
Paul sang with it. Paul, Paul sang it on Unplugged, actually.
Yeah, I know, but it's it's an actual demo from...
Here we go. Hold on.
Look at her eyes. This is after she's done slept with them all.
Oh,
look at those eyes.
There was so much drug usage and partying on this fucking film. Give him back to me. Give him back. Watch this. I love this so much. He's obviously a robot. There's nothing the guy can do.
Yeah, pretty please.
Scooby-Doo head.
Yes.
Do you, like, how do you think, like, these actors that had these smaller roles...
Here we go!
If they were, like...
Now, if he was just to pull that off, he would kill the guy.
But he blew it up with his
it's
laser
It's better
eyes.
Than the power of love. She could have kissed him, it would have fallen off, and this movie would have been way better. Just kidding.
But what I was getting to is, like, how do you think, like, these actors, like, do you think they were, like, when they're filming this, they're like, oh man, this is going to be awesome. And then it came out and people were like, man, this was a turd, man. Like, do you think that, like, anybody...
During the filming?
Yeah, thought this was going to be good, or if they all kind of realized,
like...
The power of rock.
The power of rock turned him into an old man, but he's really not. He's actually an android. And here's the real Abner. They don't explain any of this shit.
Yeah, because, you know why? Because they're leaving it open for a sequel.
That's exactly what happened. I actually think that was supposed to be a trilogy originally. I read that somewhere that this was supposed to be three films.
All right.
But this one was just so bad.
2018. You know, I mean...
Oh, it's time for Attack of the Phantoms 2.
Well,
you get them with their walkers and...
Bill of coin.
You have to find the Black Ace, though.
We got
to
bring back Black
Dude,
Ace.
Okay, all right. I got a real question for you. All right, Tommy Thayer leaves the band, but Ace isn't coming in. Can Black Ace be a...
Black Ace was on film. He has earned the right to wear the guitar and the makeup. He did flips in that shit and fought like Wampa things.
Just, I mean, like, they could have Tommy playing backstage... But have Black Ace on stage doing fucking flips and stuff. You're talking about how amazing that would be?
While we're at it, we'll just replace David Lee Roth and get a black David Lee Roth doing flips and shit. All of his hair there.
That might be a step over racism right there.
I honestly feel like they should have, like, probably put rock and roll.
Lisa Jane Persky.
Dirty Joe.
Yeah.
Sneed.
Oh, she's being licked downstairs from that shot.
Kiss soldier.
And fucking Gene's across the room while he's doing it.
Oh. Played by Gene Simmons, even in Paul Stanley.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that this movie has not aged very well, nor was it really...
I don't think it was received well at the time, dude. The reason why we only got one.
I will say it's probably more enjoyable to watch it now than it probably was then, because everybody's watching it through the eyes of, like, wanting it to be really good, and now we realize that it's just a step below unwatchable.
I hate this movie so much. There's reasons to watch it. Like, Cass loved it.
I don't hate this movie. I have a sort of a soft spot for it. But let's wrap everything up. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you lending your Google skills and your expertise.
I didn't
I had much of a choice. You would have kicked down the door to the opportunity to comment on this.
You didn't ask me to do this one.
I didn't ask.
If it was Detroit Rock City, I would have gladly done it. This one you had to kind of talk me into.
Yeah,
I
did insist. I did insist upon your involvement. All right, guys. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll be back in January with a brand new edition of Rants from the Black Lodge.